Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome to Power in the Word. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons coming back to you with another issue of Power in the Word. And you know that I do believe that there is power in the Word of God. I tell you, I love the Lord. I love Him with all of my heart, my soul, and my strength. God is good and worthy to be praised. Amen. There's none like Him. There's none like Him. God the Father, who is definitely my inspiration for me to go ahead and be all that I can be through Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Lord. I tell you, if it were not for Jesus, I don't know where I would be on today. So I'm just giving praise and glory and honor to God today for saving my life. Amen. For sending some people to tell me about His love. For sending some people to tell me about the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, I'm going to continue something that I started on last week. On last week, I wanted to talk about current affairs. I wanted to talk a little bit about Imus and what was going on with that deal. I wanted to talk about the unfortunate event that occurred at Virginia Tech. And I wanted to talk about American Idol. American Idol has been bumped. It has been bumped because it doesn't fit in. You ever watch Sesame Street? It says one of these things is not like the others. One of these things just doesn't belong. So I have bumped American Idol. Today I'll be talking about Imus and hip-hop, and I'll also be talking about Chow. So you see the title is Imus and hip-hop, but what about Chow? And this is a serious show. I want your calls. I want you to call in and talk to me about some of these issues, and my number is 646-652-4832. So you can call in, and I will talk to you about, I will take your comments. I will take your comments. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, do not call here trying to change my mind about what I believe. I believe in Jesus. Amen. And most of my listeners believe in Jesus as well, but it is an open forum. I will talk to you about my faith. I will talk to you about how my faith plays into what's going on in society today. And I will talk to you about any, I will answer any questions that you have, but I will not be swayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to give a shout out to Deron, Brother Deron Stewart, who called in on last week and talked to me for about 15 minutes. And I want to give a shout out to Deron. Amen. And praise God. Let us pray. Father God, we praise Your holy name. Lord, we worship You. You are worthy to be praised. There is none like You. Lord, I magnify Your name on today. And I ask, Father God, that You just let Your will be done. Let Your will be done during this half an hour that we are here at Power in the Word. Let Your will be done. Let Your light shine in the midst of any dark situation. Use me to Your glory, and let me always be a bearer of good news. Amen. Let the fruit of the Spirit be evident in my life, even as I talk to the people, thousands of people across the internet ways. I just ask that You be glorified in my life through Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, I give You the glory, the honor, and the praise for all that You do. I pray for my listeners right now. I pray that You will continue to work in their lives. I pray that You will continue to keep them in perfect peace. I pray that You will continue to even give them the strength to make it through the storm, to know that they are not alone, that You will never leave them, that You will never forsake them, but that You are always with them. So we come before You humbly, humbly and boldly to the throne of grace, asking that Your will be done during this time. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. And praise God. Praise God. God is good. I said that already. I know, but I'll say it again. God is good and worthy to be praised. Amen. I want to talk about what's going on in our society. I know that this is old news for a lot of people, but it's something that I haven't talked about yet. So I want to take some time to talk about it. I'm going to just make a commentary. And again, the phone lines are open. You can call in. You can call in and talk to me about what you think about what I'm saying and what you think about these current issues. Amen. I want to start with reading a scripture. I'm going to go to the book of Psalms, and you know, so often I will read scripture. I'm going to read from Psalms 139. Psalms 139. I'm going to start with verse 1 and read until the Lord tells me to stop. Amen. Praise the Lord. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become dark around me, or the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The light will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the dust of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Amen and praise God. And that's what I call my validation scripture. That's the scripture that I use to remind people and to remind myself of who they are, of who I am. Amen. I mean, it's been clearly outlined in the Word of God that I am not what people say about me, that you are not what people say about you. It's been clearly defined that we are not validated, nor are we invalidated by the words that come out of people's mouths. People have their own perception. People have their own opinion, and everyone is entitled to an opinion, but people have their opinions about us. If the truth were to be told, people will form an opinion about you in a matter of seconds after meeting you. People will look you up and down, size you up, and count you out of the game before you even say a word, or even after you have only uttered a few words from your lips. People are so prone to try to diagnose your situation, look at your circumstances, and then determine that they can put a price on your head, that they can put a value on your life. And I'm telling you right now that the devil is a liar. People do not validate you. They do not have that power, nor do they have the power to invalidate you. And I say all of this as a summary to my opinion about the comments that Imus made. Imus made some comments about the Rutgers girls basketball team, and he called them a group of nappy-headed hoes. It was not a nice thing for him to say, and he has lost some things as a result of his comments. Now, I'm not one to say whether he should have lost his job or not, because I don't know the man. All I know is that he did repent. He said that he was sorry. I accept his apology. As a woman of color, I accept his apology, because we are to forgive. We are called to forgive. Let me tell you about anger. Anger will mess you up. Anger will mess you up to the point where you won't know if you're coming or going. Anger will mess you up. It will have you so consumed with the person and the offense that you won't be able to move forward to do the things that you were born to do. I'm talking about purpose right now. Those girls are very good basketball players, and if they get caught up in what Imus has said about them, then they will be incapable of moving forward to become as great as they were born to be. Amen. And I'm talking about not letting people's words stop you short of the potential of your future, the potential of greatness, the potential of the possibility to be great, amen, because that is what God created you to be. God created you to be great. He didn't create you to be a second-rate citizen in the United States of America or wherever it is that you're listening to me from. God did not create you to be a wandering generality. God created you to be someone great. So I want to say to you, hold your head up, straighten up your backbone, and get to stepping in the right direction to fulfill the purpose that has already been ordained for your life. Jeremiah says, before day was lived, in the book of Psalms, David said, before day was lived, God had already written every day down in his book. Amen. So all that we have to do is get with the program and get with the plan of God for our lives. I made a very bad remark. It was not a good thing for him to say. But again, I want to let you know that it is not determined upon what Imus has to say as far as what your value is. And I was saying this on last week when Brother Devon called in, and he wanted to talk to me about, you know, not even racial, but my African heritage, amen, and my ancestors and the religion that my ancestors practiced. And I just have a lot of respect for this brother. He has emailed me, and he said that he would call me again, and I'm looking forward to talking to him again in the future. But I have a lot of respect for this brother because he was one who called the show and voiced his opinions. I don't agree. We both have agreed to disagree, and that's the beautiful thing. I just pray that one day he will come to know Jesus Christ for himself. He told me that he has some Baptist roots. And Baptist is one thing, but being in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is another. And he said that he wants me to be converted to what he believes, and I can't do that. I no can do, no can do. I have to stay with what I know, and what I know is that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and that he has changed my life. Amen. He validates me. On that note, what I want to do is I want to flip over. I'm going to talk a little bit about hip-hop, amen, and the impact of hip-hop on the identity of the young women in our culture, in the African-American culture, that is, amen. But before I do that, I want to just play a clip. I was listening to a tape on this morning, and I want to encourage you to call in. My number is 646-652-4832. And while you're thinking about calling, I want to play this clip. This is the first time that I'm playing a clip, so I pray this works. But I want you to listen to this clip that I was listening to on this morning. Praise the Lord.
You have two heritages in life. One natural and one spiritual. And you can trace back your natural heritage far back as you can. And guess what? All it will be is cute. It will give you history, information, but it doesn't empower you. But when you trace your spiritual heritage, see, that's why there are two genealogies. One in Luke, one in Matthew. One traces him back to a covenant man, Abraham, but the other one traces him back to God. When you find your identity in God, you become empowered. Because when you accept the image of God, and it doesn't matter what your circumstances are, what your situation is, what color of the skin you carry, where you were born, what the social status of your family was, it's all irrelevant. Because in your identity with God, you become liberated to do all things in Christ Jesus. Come on, give God a good hand. Clap off.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that was Pastor A.R. Bernard from Christian Cultural Center over in New York, and he was visiting my church at the time. I was going to the cathedral in Pervamboy. I thought this was powerful. You know, I put my hands on this cassette. I wasn't looking for it, but I was just listening to his sermon about identity. And what I found is that I'm in agreement with him. Our identity is not in our race. It's not in our background. It's not in what kind of a family we grew up in. Our identity is to be found in Christ. And the Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. There's empowerment to be found in Christ. Amen. I've looked at a lot of different religions, and nothing has helped me like a relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, not going to church, but being in relationship with God through Christ. Amen. And praise God. I want to move on. And again, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons from New Creation Christian Ministries. We're over in Elizabeth, New Jersey. And I want to move on to talk to you about hip-hop. You know, I have some friends who called me up after they listened to Friday's show. And one young lady, Tina Borsico, who's a friend of mine, she's very involved with people in the industry, the hip-hop music industry. And she told me that she had challenged some of our leaders to do something about the music. I spoke briefly when I was speaking to Brother Devon. I spoke briefly about the impact that hip-hop has on our community. I made a statement that our music is killing our children. And I want to expound upon that. I want to first and foremost say that I don't believe that all hip-hop is bad. I believe that there is some very positive hip-hop out there. And for the people who are making that music, I say keep on keeping on, because if it's good, then God can use it. Amen. But there's a lot of negativity in the music that is being played in a lot of our communities. Some of the rap lyrics talk about women being whores and bees. You know what I mean when I say bees. I'm not going to say the word. But some of our music talks about the glorification of tattoos. I don't think there's anything pretty in. And don't take offense at me if you have a tattoo, a small tattoo. Some people may have a butterfly. Some people may have a heart. You may have your child's name tattooed on your body. But I don't think there's anything pretty about a woman who has covered her body with tattoos. I just think that God made us women. God made us to be beautiful, and you put all of this ink on your body, and I just don't think it's pretty. But these men are glorifying women who have tattoos, and you're influencing women to go out and get tattoos. My sister made a remark on yesterday that you can't get to heaven if you have a tattoo. Now, that's not in the Bible. That's why so many people laugh at us, because we say stuff like this. But I told her, I said, there's nowhere in the Bible about you not being able to get to heaven with a tattoo. And my other sister said, well, you know, be careful about who you're talking about can get into heaven, because I have a tattoo, and she happens to be a Christian. But that's a whole nother program. What I want to talk to you about is the negativity that is shown even in the videos, where you have five women clinging to one man, and that man just happens to have a T-shirt on, a wife beater T-shirt, and some jeans hanging off of his behind, and he may have the gold chains around his neck and braided hairs, and he's really scruffy looking. And these women are hanging on to this man. So now the message is being sent out that it's okay to share. It doesn't matter if the man does not want to be in a committed relationship with you, but it's okay to share. And I refute that. I just think that it's just a sad portrayal of what relationships are really supposed to be like. And it's a sad portrayal of the level of self-esteem in our communities, and I'm talking about the African-American community here. Well, you're better than that. You're not a hoochie mama. You're not a whore. You're not a hoe. You're not a prostitute. So why do we have to dress like hookers? There was a young lady that came to my mother's house on yesterday, and she had on a very low-cut blouse, and you didn't have to use your imagination to see her breasts. Everything was hanging out. Talk about letting it all hang out. And this is what we're being taught when we look at the videos. And the women don't have on any clothes, very little clothing. Why bother putting on anything at all if you're going to show everything when you put your clothes on. I say we need to have a sense of modesty. We need to cover up our assets. Amen. We need to cover up our assets. These things are jewels. Amen. They're treasures. And I believe that there is a time to unveil. Amen. And I believe that that's with your husband in the marriage bed. I believe I'm old-fashioned. Call it what you will. But I believe in the sanctity of marriage. Amen. I believe that you should save yourself for your husband. Even if you're not a virgin now, I want to say consider cutting off the supply of sexual intimacy in your relationship and see how things will change. The level of respect will go up. The man may even ask you to be his wife. And people may say, well, Pastor Rebecca, everybody doesn't want to get married. And that may be true. But if you do want to get married, giving away the goods prior to taking the vows is not a good way to get the man to the altar. I'm not talking about trickery. I'm talking about valuing yourself more than you value the attention of some man or some woman. You may be a man who wants to preserve yourself for marriage. I don't know, but what I'm saying to you is that you're better than that. You're not somebody's piece of meat. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I know I'm talking on a Christian show about real life issues, and I do have a caller. I want to welcome you to Power in the Word. Caller, you're on the line. You're on the air. Welcome to Power in the Word.
Hello.
Hello, this is Pastor Rebecca.
Praise
welcome
the Lord.
To Power in the Word.
How are you? I'm sorry about that. This is Pastor Moore from Cleveland, Ohio.
How are you, Pastor Moore?
Good, good. I was just calling. I ran by your show, and it's just refreshing to hear someone else talk about the importance of keeping the marital bed sacred.
Amen. Amen.
It's sad, you know, to see that we have all these young people just running up, jumping up, getting married, or those that are still getting married, and are getting married really for the wrong reasons,
mm-hmm.
and have not put any thought, have not had any wise counsel. I'm really embarrassed that a lot of my brothers and sisters that perform wedding ceremonies and have not spent any time getting to know the couple, counseling the couples, and just really educating them on what marriage is really about.
That's right. That's right. And what do you think some of the solutions to that can be, especially for those of us who are in a position to perform marriages?
Well, I believe that, you know, along with, I don't know if it's different in every state, but I know that there aren't, I don't think it is, but it's not hard to have credentials to get the license to solemnize marriages.
Yes.
And I think that there should be some type of standard, some type of prerequisite that's mandated that before you perform this ceremony that, you know, the couple has to, even if it was even in the secular arena, that they had to go to some type of a three-day class where they watched a videotape or, you know, something,
yeah.
Some sort of standard before we just sign off on all these marriages that are ending up in divorce before the ink is even dry on the paper.
I agree with that, Pastor Moore. And the problem is that we, especially here in America, do not have any respect for marriage as it should be.
Right.
Because there's so many things going on in the arena of marriage. You know, we want men to marry men and women to marry women, and we're having enough problems keeping men and women married to each other.
Oh, my.
So that's a whole nother
story.
What do you think about this hip-hop phenomenon, and what can we do with our young people, Pastor Moore?
Well, I think that I've got some friends who are in music. In fact, I just got to listening to another blog talk show, a friend of mine who's also a DJ here in Cleveland on a Christian radio station. And if you listen to the alternatives that have come about in the Christian arena, there are a lot of alternatives to the secular hip-hop that have emerged in the Christian gospel area.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to start presenting some of this to our young people. I know that a lot of older heads, if you will,
mm-hmm.
Had issues with hip-hop gospel or gospel rap. But, you know, they had trouble with the Hawkins family, you know.
Yeah.
That was considered to be, you know, risque when it first came out, but now we're looking at it as, you know, part of the cornerstone of gospel music. You know, it's become it's traditional.
Okay, then that's the truth. But how do we reach, you know, my heart? This is my heart. I grew up in Newark, New Jersey. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, people do perish for lack of knowledge. I spent a lot of time looking for love and looking for solutions in all the wrong places,
mm-hmm.
much like the woman with the issue of blood, just really looking here and there for a solution that could not be found outside of Jesus Christ. How do we reach the young people in our communities who are not church, who are not going to church and really don't want any part of the church?
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that I'm, getting ready to institute here in Cleveland, I've had some conversation with people across the country, other musicians. I mean, I personally, and I hope I don't get crucified for this, but I never liked any type of rap. So you can imagine when they came out with Christian rap, I'm thinking, oh, my God, you know. But if we use it as a tool to draw and then, you know, present Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Then I think that it has its place. And so I really want to institute here in Cleveland a Holy Ghost hip-hop service on Saturday as an alternative for the young people, get them in, feed them the Word of God, uncompromised,
yes.
and hopefully, you know, change some lives.
Amen. I believe that would be effective. As a matter of fact, my spiritual father, Bishop Donald Hilliard, over at the cathedral in mm-hmm. Griffin-Boy, I believe he has something like that happening right now.
Amen.
So I believe that that would be effective because I believe that the young people are really turned off by the church and the hypocrisy
right.
coming
right.
out of the church. You know, we you know, so many Christians, before I got saved, there were more Christians on the barstool on Saturday night than in the church pews in my church right now on Sunday.
I agree.
And it's a shame. It's really a shame because we profess to love Christ, but we really need to put that love in action.
Amen.
And he said, if you love me, you obey my commandments. And I believe that we have to set a higher standard coming from the church, coming out of the church, and being an impact to the world. We need to change the world.
That's right. And that's what we're called to do. Pastor Rebecca, I have to run.
Amen. What is your website so maybe some people in Ohio can connect with you?
We're at, the church website is www.wayofescape.org. I'm also doing a blog talk show, and that's at Woe Live Talk, and what is that? www.blogtalk.com/woelivetalk.
Okay, what time is your show?
I'm actually doing a show in 4 minutes.
Okay, God bless you. Listening, he's up next. God bless you, Pastor Moore. I'll
God
be listening
you.
To you as well.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Bye bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, praise God, praise God. So people are listening and people are concerned about what's going on in our community. So if you're not saved and you're a young person, just before I go off the air, I want to let you know that Jesus Christ is concerned about you. God has not forgotten about you, and it is not our position as Christians to pass judgment on you. We love you. There are some people who have a heart for what's going on in our communities, black and white. I know even for the listener who's not African-American, you may say, well, what about me? What about me? I want you to know that you're included. God has not forgotten about you either, and I know that there are things going on in your communities and in your homes as well, and I want to let you know that God will give you the grace. If you receive it, God will give you the grace to make it through. Amen, amen, and praise God. You're not validated by what people say about you and what the lyrics in some of the secular rap, what those lyrics are saying about you. You don't have to receive it. You can receive what God says about you, and that is that you're wonderfully and fearfully made, that he created you for good works. There are some things already ordained for you to do, and all that you have to do is grab a hold of it and embrace what God has for you. What God has for you is for you, amen, and what God has for you to do is for you. So I just made a mistake, and some of the rappers are making a mistake in the way that they are portraying the women in our communities and our neighborhoods in their videos, amen. And you're not what people say that you are, and you can save yourself for marriage, even if you've already shared yourself with someone. You can be a virgin from today going forward, amen, amen, and praise God. On Wednesday, I'm going to just continue with this just a little bit more so that I can talk about what's going on what was going on with Cho. Amen. Where does God fit in? What was his excuse? He even compared himself to being like Jesus Christ, to be inspiration to those who were weak and felt hopeless. But the devil is a liar, because Jesus Christ never killed anybody. Amen. He died for everyone so that we could have life and have life eternally. And he also told the disciples that I have come so that you might have life and have that life more abundantly. Are you receiving that today? Are you receiving the abundant life that Jesus Christ came and lived and died so that you could have? Know that you're somebody in God today. Receive it, receive it, receive it in the name of Jesus. Make the most out of every single opportunity. You were born for greatness, and you were born to be great. Amen. And remember, my sister, remember, my brother, that God loves you, and so do we here at Power in the Word. Peace.